Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm a feminist. But I've taken to wearing jumpsuits. That's not the unfeminist part.
You know what? Good shout, good shout.
I find it very difficult to zip a jumpsuit up at the back on my own. So I can get it to a certain point, but then, I mean, I could fanny around with it, but instead I generally just, if I can't do it myself and I'm in too much of a hurry, which is always, like tonight, I'll come in and I'll just say to someone, would you mind zipping me up? Now, lately, I've been wearing almost exclusively jumpsuits. And this has happened a lot. Do you know what I found?
What?
It's an amazing way to make female friends. Because there's always a woman who'll zip up a jumpsuit. She'll always then say, I can never zip up my jumpsuit either. Love your jumpsuit. Oh, you're also wearing a jumpsuit. Love your jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Chat. We bond. Now, I have decided when I'm going somewhere, you know when you have to go to a party or an event or a feminist event or something on your own, or sometimes I might have to do a show on my own, there's lots of fancy people backstage, I'm going to use it as a strategy. I'm going to deliberately, even if someone's at home who could zip me up, I'm going to say, no, don't zip me up. I'm going to turn up to this event with an unzipped up jumpsuit, just a little way at the back, and that's how I'm going to make my first friend.
You know,
I'm going to bond through an unzipped jumpsuit.
You know what? I can see that. Yeah, it's a good shout, to be honest.
If I ever meet Beyonce, I'm gonna. If I think Beyonce's going to be there tonight, I don't know where I think I'm going to be when she is, but just stick with me. I know, for example, we're both doing a charity event or something. I think I'm never going to get to talk to her. No. I'm going to wear a jumpsuit, a little bit unzipped. Then I'm going to see her and I'm going to go, oh, Beyonce, big fan. Any chance you could zip up my jumpsuit? Now, she is then going to go, I have this all the time with my costumes. And we are going to bond over how difficult it is to zip up a jumpsuit. She's going to say, I have people for that.
Yeah.
Derek will do it for you. I don't know why I think she's involving a man called Derek now in my fantasy. The two of us are going to feminist bond over how difficult it is to get a jumpsuit up. Men don't have to wear clothes like this where they have to do them up at the back by themselves. All men's things buttoned down the front. Isn't that fascinating? Yeah. One thing will lead to me being best friends with Beyonce. Slash maybe Michelle Obama, slash probably, you know, a Taylor Swift maybe, I don't know.
Oh, you lost me there.
I mean, I'd be open to being friends with Taylor Swift.
I know, it's controversy. I know. I'm just not on the hype.
To be honest, I was grasping at straws for a third person, and even as I said it, I thought people are going to be disappointed. But it was. I just thought she's a third person people will relate to.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate. Well, there's a lot of Swifties out there.
Audre Lorde just turned 90. Did you see that? Audre Lorde just turned 90. Yeah. I think it's rude to ask a 90-year-old woman to zip up your jumpsuit.
Yeah, sure.
She was the one I thought of, and I thought, oh, that'd be good. She's been in the news. She's topical. People will be impressed with me thinking I want to make friends with Audre Lorde, which of course I do, but it's unlikely to happen. But I thought, can you ask a 90-year-old lady? Can you come in and go, could you dress me?
Yeah, that's a bit
no.
Weird. See, when you were talking about jumpsuits, I purposely avoid zips at the back for jumpsuits. I'm always a zippy front or button. Mm. But now you said about the friends thing.
Yeah, it's a great way to make friends.
And if
I were ever single, that is 100% how I would get a new bow. I don't know what gender that bow would be, so I'm being open.
You can be like, initially you'd be like, oh, do you want to zip me up? And you'd be like, no.
Zip me down. 100%. That is my new pick. Listen, that pickup line is yours. You do one.
Okay. I am a feminist, but I can't help but wonder if mansplaining was invented as a subtle way of protest against skinny jeans.
What? You can't help if mansplaining. What, say it again?
So basically, this story comes from, I was on the tube, Oz, and this man was in skinny jeans, but obviously was like...
Yeah.
Manspreading, sorry.
Oh!
I'm dyslexic. We heard this for the first time, but yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, sorry, I realised what I said. I'm dyslexic, and I read it off my phone.
Skinny jeans is to try and eradicate manspreading, because they're stiff. Yeah, they can't get them apart.
I was like, why half of them got laughing? I realised that.
That makes a lot more sense. Mansplaining, it's like, they'd have to be very tight.
Yeah.
To stop the mansplaining I've heard of.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
So manspreading. I just kind of was just like, oh, mate, are they really that tight?
Excellent. I am trying to find one that is in a group that I thought was called... The thing is, I'm in two WhatsApp groups called Power Bottoms. One's Badass Bottoms or something. Anyway, oh, here we are. Okay, this is one from Ellen Jones. This is Ellen Jones is a feminist. Do you know Ellen Jones? Queer disability activist. She's been on the show before. And she texted me the other day in a WhatsApp group and said, I'm a feminist, but I just said the phrase, anything said on day one of your period should be disregarded as de facto hysteria. And I just fully agreed. I just went 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. So it's a joint I'm a feminist part.
Yeah, I agree with that one, actually.
I think it's fair.
Absolutely, fully fair play. Okay, fine. I am a feminist, and even though a lot of people will say that I'm intimidating,
that's what I said about me too. Yeah,
it's really annoying.
What they're intimidated about? I'm such an umpty.
I know. I'm so lovely. So I'm a feminist, but even though people call me intimidating, I do like to let men do most of the work in the bedroom. I like to be lazy nowadays, babe. I like to be lazy. I'm over the age of 30. I'm gonna be lazy. You do all the work, and I'm gonna sit there and be comfortable. And then occasionally I will say some words.
Can I ask what's that got to do with being intimidating?
So people think,
think you're a top.
Yeah, people think I'm a dominant. Yeah.
Think you're a dominant.
Well,
yeah.
I'm quite actually submissive. I'm quite submissive, so.
It's almost invariably what you are in life is the opposite of what you are in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, is almost all stand-up comedians are submissive in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Because in life, they want to be all around the stage with a microphone.
Yeah.
And in bed, they're just like, I've done all that, lie here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a hard worker. Like, I do too much. Let me just have this one moment.
I think that's absolutely fair enough. I'm a feminist, but when I come into King's Place, sometimes there's a big poster of me out the front, sometimes a more flattering picture than another. Sometimes the picture is too flattering because it's a billboard size, the size of a building, and it's just sort of what shows are coming up. So that's why, and we've got a residency here, that's why I'm often there. But it's a really big kind of billboard. And sometimes it's too flattering. Like it's a photo that's like 7 years old and there was really good lighting, a really good photographer, and the photographer's touched up the picture. So then I scurry underneath it because I don't want people comparing me to my own billboard. Sometimes it's a photo where I go, I think I'm 10 to 25% more attractive than that. And it's just a spontaneous picture someone at King's Place has taken, and I'm like, I feel I can do better. And then I scurry underneath because I sort of think, oh, I don't want people to be like comparing me and going, no, that's about right. but lately, I haven't been up there at all. And I haven't been up there at all. I don't know why. You know,
King's Place?
I mean, it's just a rotation thing. It's not called Queen's Place for a reason. And... No, there's plenty of women out there. There's plenty of women out there. It's not a gendered thing at all. But it's always, because this is a concert hall, really, and there's, you know, it's always some, like, mermaid with a cello or something. she's not a real mermaid. She's just a woman as beautiful as a mermaid. Although a mermaid with a cello, come to think of it, would be tricky.
I'll pay to see that.
Because where would she put the cello?
Yeah.
It'd be...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's nowhere to put her legs. How would she would just keep slipping off. But it's some... Imagine a mermaid with a cello and you have that idea. Some glorious woman with, you know, boundless hair, just celloing away. And I just always look at that woman and think, whoever it is, it's rotating. It's not a particular woman. It's just a woman, rotating woman. I just always think, yeah, biatch. Yeah, we all understand that your art form is more sophisticated than mine. And it's much lovelier seeing a picture of someone with a cello than someone with a microphone. Because it's like the female body tipped upside down. So it's like a woman is playing a woman. It's like a cisgendered female body playing a woman. You know, do you know what I mean? It's like it's a woman playing a woman.
I can see
it. Beautiful.
That.
It's absolutely beautiful.
But I think a woman with a mic in a picture looks quite sexy. I think it looks like commanding.
What does?
A woman in a picture.
Woman with a microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get a microphone shaped like a cello. It's going to be up here, it's going to be a mic, and then it, from there out, it's going to be like a cello, and I'm going to put it on wheels and I walk around the stage with it. Because they look more sophisticated, they look like their talent's more important, it is. They look like their skill level is much higher, it is. They have to practice every single day, that's the thing about... Yeah. So all I'm saying is, mermaids with cellos, I love you, but sort of.
Feel like that's Little Mermaid 2 right there.
Mermaids with cellos.
Yeah, mermaids with cellos. Yeah. Just Ariel and her sisters.
That's right.
Make it an orchestra. Be great.
You go.
Right, so last one. I'm a feminist, but I can't help but wish that my self-worth came with a tracking device, but like my Amazon packages. just so I know where it is exactly at all times. Just so I know.
That would be great.
Yeah, I just want it to be like, oh, it's in Brixton. Okay, fine. Let me go get it where I left the dict as well.
And I know what would happen every single time is I'd be waiting in for my self-esteem and then I get a message going, we tried to bring you your self-esteem and you weren't in. And I'd be like, I was right here. Yeah. Three other people have dropped off packages. Yeah. Where the fuck is my self-esteem? You didn't ring the bell. Yeah. You didn't. You did not.
We dropped it off at the neighbour.
We dropped it off with the neighbour. And then I go around, knock on the neighbour, says, no, we haven't had anything. And they've got my self-esteem all day long.
Exactly. Then they've got the next podcast. You know where it is.
Absolute bastards. Bet it's that mermaid with a cello who lives two doors down. Live from King's Place in London, the Spotted Angel Shop presents the Girls of Feminist with me, Emma Francis White, guest host, Lisa, and a very special guest, Eleanor Conway, talking about the Goldinger. Hello, Sakisa. Did you have a good interval?
I did have a good interval. Did you have a good interval?
I did. I didn't get to the loo, though.
So, yeah, nor did I.
And do you know what's good about that for this audience? The second act's going to be compact. Because sometimes the second act, you know, it should never be longer than the first act, but you never know. You could have really interesting guests, and maybe it will be. But if you don't go to the loo... Do you know Winston Churchill used to not go to the loo before negotiations? Because he'd say it makes you really focused.
So you're just, like, using those muscles to hold in the pee.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm just going to get to the point, and you don't let the negotiation drag on.
It's a good point, actually.
Yeah, and listen, not that I approve of everything Winston Churchill did or said. Lots I don't, but he did win the Second World War.
Yeah.
With a full bladder.
Yeah.
IT didn't pee for the whole war. I mean, sure, he must have once or twice, but not through the Blitz. Now, before we start our second act, I told you we have an emergency guest. Basically, in the last week, I got Instagram DM'd by Doctors for Choice, and I just said, like, right, this is so important, we need to talk about it at the very next show. Are you available on Monday night? And they said, yes, we'll send you somebody important. this is now my official introduction. Our guest today is a medical doctor and women's health campaigner and the spokesperson for Doctors for Choice UK, a group of healthcare professionals who campaign for abortion rights. She's also on the board of MedAct, campaigning against the social, political, and economic conditions that damage health and deepen inequality. Please put your hands together and give a big guilty feminist welcome to Sonia Adesara. Hello, hello, hello. Dr. Sonia Adesara, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. You must be very busy as a doctor, and also you're doing all of this extraordinary campaigning and activism work. Can you tell us why Doctors for Choice contacted me this week to say that it was very important that we speak about what's going on in the UK with abortion rights?
Okay. So Doctors for Choice UK, we've been campaigning for the decriminalisation of abortion for many years. A lot of people in the UK don't realise that abortion has never been decriminalised in this country. You don't have the right to an abortion. We do have the Abortion Act that came in 1967, which protects you from being prosecuted. But any abortions that happen outside of that act, you can be prosecuted. And women are being prosecuted under a law dating back to the 1800s. And under this law, you can face a maximum prison sentence of life imprisonment. Yeah, here they are, us in the audience. So we have one of the most, for legal abortion in the UK, we have one of the most severest penalties in the world. It's more severe than Syria, Afghanistan and South Sudan. And I guess at Doctors for Choice UK, we've been increasingly worried that we're seeing more women in recent years being investigated for suspected illegal abortions. We're seeing women who have, let's say, had a miscarriage or stillbirth who are being investigated. And we're seeing more women being taken to court. Last year, 6 women were taken to a court for suspected illegal abortion. And one woman was imprisoned. So she was a mother, and she received a prison sentence for an illegal abortion.
And that has been suspended now, but only due to public outcry. That's
and now
right,
that has been suspended.
Two teenagers are still waiting for sentencing?
Two teenagers are still waiting for sentence. But this is the problem. So, you know, it feels pretty crazy that in this day and age that women still do not have the right to choose whether or not to end or continue their pregnancy. And it seems to me, you know, completely barbaric that we are sending women to prison for making that decision to end their pregnancy.
Since the 1850s to last year, there were 3 women mm-hmm. in court in total. Mm-hmm. That's not to say abortion clinics before 1967 weren't shut down and they were legal and all that kind of thing, but only 3 women were ever convicted. In the last year, 6 women have been convicted. So what's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, the law hasn't changed, but we are seeing more women being investigated. And it's difficult to know why that is. Is it because more healthcare professionals are referring them to the police? Is it because the CPS are choosing to investigate those women? Or is it because we are seeing increasing activity from the what we call the antis, those who are lobbying to try and restrict abortion access. And the anti-choice movement is some, you know, their numbers are small. You know, we always think about them sort of being sort of in the periphery and in America. And yes, the numbers are small, but these groups are well-funded, well-resourced, well-organised, globally connected, and actually very well connected to parliamentarians. And I think we are seeing an increase in activity. And I think they were, you know, since the election of Trump, where they had a big win, we're seeing an increase in activity of these anti-abortion lobby and these movements. And they are really, you know, these movements are really problematic. So, you know, for example, there's an organisation called the Heartbeat Alliance who are based, sort of a murky organisation, no one really knows how they're properly funded. They're based in the US, they have hundreds of clinics across the US, but also have clinics across the world in 18 countries, including the UK. Now, they have these, what they call themselves, these crisis pregnancy centres. So they present themselves as these neutral health facilities, but they are far from neutral. And a BBC investigation which looked into these centres in the UK, there's 57 centres in the UK, found that a third of these centres were giving out misinformation or false information to women. So, for example, there was one centre in Belfast, and then this woman was told that if she was to have an abortion, her breasts would fill up with cancer. So they're putting out this misinformation, feeding this misinformation about abortion, you know, trying to feed this narrative that abortion is unsafe when it's not. It's a very, very safe procedure and actually safer than pregnancy and childbirth. But they're feeding this narrative that abortion is unsafe. And also, they are, despite the numbers being small, like the vast majority of people in this country are pro-choice, they are disproportionately loud. So they have big protests, they're often contacting their politicians. You know, I speak to a lot of politicians and they say, for every person that messages me saying that we need to decriminalise abortion, I have many, many, many poor people contacting me talking about how we need to restrict access. So, and they're very well connected with our politicians, and we do have quite a few prominent politicians who are connected with these movements and who are publicly anti-choice as well.
So I was going to say, would it be more to do with educating people about abortion, letting them know about the process so they're more informed rather than having to Google, Wikipedia, or because social media is obviously a big thing and the internet is the big thing?
Yeah, I think there's two things. So I think a lot of people don't actually understand the abortion law in this country. Like, I know many doctors who don't realise that abortion hasn't been decriminalised. So many people don't know the law. So many people don't know that if to have an abortion in this country and not be prosecuted, you have to have two doctors to sign for you to say that abortion can happen. It has to happen under a licensed premises, or if you're under 10 weeks, you have to have your pill under your usual pace of residence. It has to happen under certain time limits. So all of these things are in place. So, you know, if you were to have an abortion outside of any of those parameters, you're at risk of prosecution. So many, but because I think most people are able to access abortion, they don't realise the problems in the law. So, for example, they don't realise that, let's say you were a 14-year-old girl who became pregnant, didn't want to tell anyone.
Or didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't figure it out,
ordered some pills online. Let's say she was 12 weeks, took and, you know, bypassed the system, took those pills at home, you know, which is something that's safe to do, she's then at risk of being prosecuted and sent to jail. So a lot of people actually don't know that the problems with the law, so then they're not pushing for it to be changed.
And the woman who was given a jail sentence, which is now a suspended sentence, so she's still a criminal under the law, perceived as one, she was in lockdown. Mm. She had three children. We couldn't just go. It was at a time where we just couldn't go to the doctor, and she didn't have access to a normal process. So she, I guess, figured it out and took abortion pills at home, and then was convicted at a time when people were in lockdown. But abortion pills being available to you in your home now, and not having to go into a clinic, has meant that I think a lot of these right-wing religious pressure groups are really, really pushing back now.
Yeah, so the abortion pills at home is actually only a very recent thing, and it came in. And so previously what happened is you were only allowed to have the abortion on a licensed premises. So what happened is, let's say if you wanted to have a medical abortion, which is an abortion by a pill, you'd have to take the medication in the clinic and then possibly bleed on your way home, but that was because of the law. Now, because of COVID happened, which is ridiculous in itself, but because of COVID, and we actually didn't want women to be coming into clinics, we brought in something called telemedicine, and we pushed for a change in the law that allowed women to then have an abortion pill at home only if they're under 10 weeks. If they're above 10 weeks, they can't do that and still at risk of being prosecuted. But I think that big campaign actually then, I think, really revitalised the anti-movement, because we were quite successful with that campaign. Because when we told people about this, most of the public were like, yeah, of course. Why can't you have an abortion pill in the comfort of your own home? It's ridiculous. But then I think the success of that campaign then also re-energised the other side who were pushing for abortion access to be restricted amongst women.
And there are at least 100 women, they say, being investigated at the moment.
Yeah.
Presumably other people of minority genders who can also get pregnant. Why is it urgent that we talk about this now? What's happening in February?
Yeah, so in the next couple of weeks, there's a legislation going through Parliament, and Diana Johnson, who is a Labour MP, is putting an amendment to that legislation, and what that's going to do, because that, as I said at the start, the law that women are being prosecuted under is a law dating back to the Victorian era. It's a law from 1861, and what this amendment is doing is taking women out of that law. So what it will do, won't change abortion provision or abortion care in this country. But what it will do is that it will stop women being sent to jail for having abortion. And so those women that are set to face trial this year, if this amendment gets passed, then those women won't be then at risk of being imprisoned under that law. And do you know what's crazy? You know, I've been speaking to politicians. You know, right now it doesn't seem like the majority of our politicians will support that amendment. And, you know, people are either, and I guess there's some people, particularly if you look at, like, the current cabinet, you know, about half of them voted against other legislation around abortion, like buffer zones and things. So there's quite a prominent members of the cabinet who are against improving abortion access. But then even amongst, so you know, sort of the left or progressives in Parliament, many of them see it as a contentious issue. And that's what the conversations are having. Many politicians are either going to abstain or vote against this amendment, so it won't go through. So that's why it's really, really important. You know, we talked about what we can do. The antis, those that want to reduce abortion access, are well organised, are well connected, will be heavily campaigning right now to get their politicians to do what they want. So now we have to, the silent majority, those of us who believe in a woman's right to choose, believe in a woman's right to bodily autonomy, we need to start getting organised, and we need to be contacting our MPs, make our voices heard, put pressure on our politicians to do the right thing, because no woman should be sent to jail for ending her own pregnancy.
Sonia, thank you so much. This is a really, really urgent matter. We need to contact our MPs this week.
Yeah.
What else can we do other than tell our MP? So if you know that your MP is either going to support it or not going to support it, and you've established that, what do you do then?
Yeah, so this amendment just stops women being sent to jail. It doesn't improve our abortion care. And actually, the way that we do abortion care in this country does need to improve, and the Abortion Act also needs to change. So this is just the first start that we need to do. If you want to join us, if you believe in a woman's right to bodily autonomy without conditions, then join us, join Abortion Rights. You can follow Doctors for Choice UK on social media. You can go onto our website. We've got lots of campaigns coming up. Get involved in campaigning, because we don't just want to stop women being imprisoned for abortion. We want abortion care to be free of stigma. We want it to be free, legal, and available for all women. And it needs to be woman-centred care. So we're campaigning to improve abortion care in this country so women are put first in abortion care and get the care that they need. So just get involved in our campaigns. There's Abortion Rights and Doctors for Choice UK. Check us out on social media and please join us and get involved.
Because ultimately it's our body, our choice.
Our body, our choice. And this is, you know, feminism 101, you know, the right to bodily autonomy, you know, without conditions. It's pretty basic with women's rights.
We need to get on it now. There are lots of women and other people who can get pregnant of minority genders in this country who are at risk right now of being criminalised for something that is that should not be in any way in that realm. If you speak to your MP, find out if your MP is voting for or against it. Obviously, if they're voting against or they're abstaining, please try and convince them. But also, post about it on social media. And if you could, you can share Doctors for Choice. But there'll be other campaigns as well that you'll find on Doctors for Choice socials. But I think it's what's really effective now also is to go into your WhatsApp groups. You know, you might have a book group or a, you know, girls who have cocktails group or whatever. You know, why do I think you ever go?
A brunch group.
You might have a fierce activist group. I don't know what you've got, but whatever you have got, if you ask people directly, can you help me with this, as opposed to sort of putting it out. I think not that it isn't important to do socials if you've got it, but we can scroll through and it's really, really easy to go, oh, that sounds like it's too difficult to get involved with. Whereas someone you know who might be influential, or someone you know who just might have time or the will, or the energy, or the, you know, money, or the, you know, whatever it is, ask people you think might care, and ask people actually who care about you and say, if you care about me, this is something I care about, and try and get more people involved. Because most people don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, and also with Doctors for Choice, we've made two videos. One is a video of life light projections that we did across the country, putting out the facts about abortion and about the law. So it's just a really short video which you can share to explain what's happening with abortion care, and you can share it on your socials and put it into your groups. We also made a music video, which is... I'm in it. but it's quite lighthearted, but also it tries to sort of, it's based on Queen, but just to sort of try and show also the ridiculousness about abortion also. So share those videos on social media. Because the problem is we just need to talk about it. You know, one in three women have an abortion, and yet I think there is still, I think, because of maybe the stigma around abortion, people don't talk about it. And I think we do need to get rid of that stigma, and that starts by us just talking about it and being loud about it.
Great. Please give your thanks through applause for Dr. Sonia Adesara. Stand-up comedy. Yeah. Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Sakisa.
Hello. Hello again. But for those of you who don't know, so obviously my name is Sakisa. It's a very unique name. It's a name that you're never going to hear of again. It's a name that doesn't work in Starbucks. Yeah, we all know about Starbucks. But everyone calls me Twix. You may call me Twix if you want to. Twix like the chocolate. Don't ask. It's not because of this. Okay. But let me get this out the way right now. I'm not called Twix because I like two fingers. Okay. I prefer Kit Kat. And I don't like to take breaks. Hey. I generally love to party. I love to party. It's one of the things I love to do. I'm trying not to party as much this year, mainly because I've recently become a mother. Woo! To my parents. Yeah. Long story short, I bought the flat my parents have been living in for the last 40 years. I paid off the mortgage, and then we're meant to move back to Barbados 4 years ago, but they're still fucking here. You know how people are like, oh, you should go back to where you come from? I understand what they mean now. And that's worse coming from me, being an immigration lawyer. Okay. Well, I do generally love to party. I recently got invited to a friend's 30th birthday party, and she was like, Sakisa, I know you're really busy, but I would love for you to be at my 30th birthday. I was like, babe, I'm the life of the party. I'm going to be there. And she was like, glad you're coming. It's a sex party. I was like, oh, hold on, wait. I've got questions. Who's having sex? Is it me having sex? Is it you having sex? Are we watching someone else have sex? What's going on? And she was like, don't worry, Sakisa, I'll be perfectly fine. There'll be chicken. And then she left. Why is there chicken at a sex party? Where is the chicken at the sex party? Is it on the side? Is it involved? What type of chicken is it? Is it jerk chicken, barbecue chicken, roast chicken, fried chicken? It was fried chicken and I got roasted. Hey. Finger looking good. Ah. But I didn't know the etiquette for a sex party because I'd never been to one before. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I had to bring a gift. I didn't know if I'd take my shoes off at the door. I didn't know. So I asked my male friend who was going to the sex party and I said to him, hey, I know you've been to quite a few before. Can you let me know what the deal is? He was like, don't worry, don't have a panic. You're going to have a great time. Everyone's really friendly and lovely. Just wear something sexy, like latex or something like that. I was like, okay, cool. But I don't know if I'm going to do well at this sex party. And he was like, no, you'll do well. You're like a 7. And he saw the look on my face. He was like, no, but your personality is like a 10. I was like, hold on, wait, are you calling this a 4? Because that's how maths work, okay? And I can appreciate why he said that, because I live in London, I probably am a 7. In Scotland, I'm more like an 8 or a 9. In the rest of the UK, I'm black. That's how it works. I wore a little Red Riding Hood dress because I was hoping someone was going to huff puff and blow my house down. But also, it was very interesting at the sex party. A lot of things were happening. People were going into their little separate rooms. I was quite intrigued with that. I didn't know what was going to happen in those separate rooms. I didn't know what was going on in there. I was quite intrigued what happens to men when they come before women in those rooms. Like, what do? Do they go to the back of the queue? Do they sit on the bench like it's a football match? Like, I didn't know. Because I remember having a situation where I was dating a guy and he came before me and kind of was like, hey, what do you want to do with this? You're going to have to wait like 15, 20 minutes for me to restart again. And that kind of made me feel like I missed the last train and have to get the night bus. and I didn't know if the same thing applied. But the most interesting thing that happened was that halfway through the night, I got really anxious and I decided I was going to go to the toilet just to calm myself down. As I walked into the bathroom, all I saw was a person and a box. I was like, hey, I'm looking for the toilet. And they were like, oh, no, you're in the right place. I was like, I can't be. There's nothing in here apart from you and the box. And they're like, one second. They walked around, got into the box, and went, open up their mouth. And I was like, oh my God, is this someone's job? Oh my God, what is this? Is this what we do with the cost of living crisis now? That we're employing people to be toilets, okay? And I realized this was someone's job and I didn't want to offend them. So I was like, thank you, no thank you, not for me. Here's a tip though, thank you, not for me. And I walked out and I realized the sign on the toilet had said human toilet and I thought they were being woke and progressive. If anything, it was way too progressive. Because I generally, when it comes to dating, I don't have that kind of confidence that a person had to have when it came to that job, when it comes to dating. I don't have that same confidence. Because everything's on the dating apps, and I hate the dating apps. Tried them all. Tinder, Bumble, Grindr, LinkedIn, Uber Eats. Tried them all, okay? Uber Eats is my favourite. Because it used to be, when I used to go on dates with guys from dating apps, I used to be really worried and scared that they were going to kill me. You seen the news. And now I go on a date with a guy from a dating app, and I'm like, fucking kill me, oh my God. It is so painful. I mean, nothing's ever happened to me in terms of harassment. The worst thing that's happened is I went on a date with a magician. That's the worst thing. He showed me his wand. It wasn't great. Oh, my God. Because I think men, especially straight men, are really worried and scared to talk to women nowadays because they're worried about being cancelled. And this is because of the Me Too movement. Don't get me wrong. The Me Too movement was amazing. It did great things for the world. It outed out some bad people. But for me personally, it's way more weirder and creepy now when men ask for consent. Okay, hear me out. I've lost you. Hear me out. Okay, right. So you'd be making out with a guy and he'd be grabbing your ass and he'd be like, is this okay? 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 I had a situation last year when I was making out with a guy and he was like, is this okay? And I was like, you're inside me, it's okay. I'm looking at you dead in the eye, it is okay. I mean, it's not great, but it's okay. But if you move it to the left, it'd be better. Thanks, guys. I've been Sakisa. Cheers. Yay!
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. We're back at King's Place in London recording more live episodes. On the 24th of March, my co-host will be the incredible Abigail Shimon, and guests include journalist and presenter India Rackerson and poet Amy Acre. Then on the 27th of March, we have the first of our Guilty Feminist book clubs, where we will be talking to Susie Miller, who wrote the hit play with Jodie Comer, Prima Facie. She has now turned that play into a novel. And we are looking at it alongside feminist classic from the 70s, Fear of Flying by Erica Jong. We're going to do more of these throughout the year, so please do join us at our very, very first Guilty Feminist Waterstones book club. And we're back at King's Place on the 10th of April before heading off to Australia and New Zealand, where we will be appearing live and recording an episode in Christchurch on the 11th of May, Auckland on the 14th of May, Wellington on the 15th of May, Adelaide on the 18th of May, Perth on the 20th, Sydney on the 23rd, Melbourne on the 25th, Brisbane on the 27th, and finally Canberra on the 28th of May. So get in and get your tickets now. They are going very fast. Please go to guiltyfeminist.com and just click on live shows for any of these events. One of the Guilty Feminist's favorite co-hosts is Alison Spittle, and she has some tour dates. Some of them got shifted. So if you want to see her do her live, brilliant stand-up show, she is coming to Hull on the 16th of March, Newcastle on the 17th, Soho Theatre in London on the 20th to the 23rd of March, Oxford on the 24th, Luton on the 28th, New Milton on the 29th. And her tour continues around the country in April and May. For details, go to seedtickets.com and search for Alison Spittle. Thank you so much for everyone who supports us via Patreon. From as little as £2.50 a month, you get ad-free episodes and you can be the first to know when tickets go on sale or when we have other special offers, opportunities or news. And if you're passing Apple Podcasts or Spotify and you felt like leaving us a five-star review, that really does help other people find the podcast. You can leave it for any individual episode you've enjoyed or just in general. You could also tell someone you know with your face or drop it into a WhatsApp group that you think they would really enjoy The Guilty Feminist. That's all from me. And now back to the podcast.
Our guest today is a multi-award-winning comedian who has sold out three tours worldwide with her shows Walk of Shame 1 and 2. And you may recognize me from Tinder. That's the name of her show. I'm not saying that. You may also recognize her from The Guardian, Woman's Hour, Stylist, BBC 4 Extra, or from TikTok, where she's garnered millions of views. She's currently on tour with Talk Dirty to Me, a critically acclaimed show about the pleasure gap. Please welcome to the stage and to the mic, Eleanor Conway.
Hello. Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, I want to talk to you today about clits, pussies, and the female orgasm. But I also want to talk to you about straight dating, so it will take a while to find the clit. Now, I read a book during lockdown. It was about the female orgasm. I've got some statistics for you. During partnered sex, 95% of straight men come with their partners. 89% of gay men come with their partners. 86% of lesbians come with their partners. Yes. Straight women, 65% of us come with their partners. Where are we, straight women? Listen to how sad we are. 65%. I read that and I thought, 65% of us come with their partners. That sounds high, quite frankly. That's it, don't it? Like, that's if we're in a relationship. If we have the audacity to have casual sex, and that rate of orgasm drops to 4%. If you're not laughing, you're crying. I thought that sounds a bit more like it, doesn't it? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I put a lot of investment into the male orgasm over the years. Got to be real with you, lads. Not a great return on investment. I've got to be honest. I'm pretty sure that Martin Lewis would be telling me to invest elsewhere by now. Now, it's too easy to blame the straight men. I think culture lets straight men get away with a lot because culture doesn't give a shit about female pleasure. It doesn't fucking... Well, pleasure is in serving men, apparently. Mm-mm-mm. I'm a child of the 90s. I came of age in the 90s and the noughties, the era of the toxic women's mags. Do we remember them? Yes, we do. Cosmo, Glamour, More Mag. Do we remember them? Sorry, Gen Z. Magazines. They're the internet on paper. Sorry. Do you remember? And that was all geared towards the male gaze, wasn't it? The male, how to please your boyfriend, secrets to a good blowjob. Do you remember them? More Magazine, Position of the Fortnight. Do you remember that one? Is it just you and me? Do you remember Position? Do you remember that one? Yeah, we do, right? Right. It was always, like I was 12, right? 12 years old. I'd not even seen touched a dick, and yet I was being getting trained up on how to use one, right? And it would always be the wouldn't it be the weirdest sexual position, like reverse cowgirl, windmill lunge, and then and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna can't wait to do that. And there'd be a diagram of a girl like crouched over a man's feet, and she'd have to roly-poly backwards to dock on his dick. The good old days. And so it's no surprise that sex in my 20s and 30s was so, like, oh, terrible. Like, if I was having sex with a geezer in my 20s, right? Geezer. This is how it would break down. This is how it would break down. 2 or 3 minutes of him going down on me in the world's worst oral sex ever. Obviously, not enough to make me come, but enough to make me feel obliged to give him a world-class blowjob because I've been trained to do one since I was 12 years old. Then penetration until he finishes, and then apparently that's the end. I'm like, please, sir, can I have some more? mate, I do know what, I felt greedy to ask for more. I felt like I'd gone to a buffet and left it hungrier than when I arrived. Straight women get sold male pleasure as their own pleasure. Like, straight sex is hinged on penetration, isn't it? Penetration. We don't come like that, do we? Click crew, where are you? Make some noise. Okay, we're hardly going to win the fucking fight for orgasm equality with that lacklustre woo. I'm going to say that again. Click crew, where the fuck are you? Yes, we like clit shit, don't we? Only 4% of women orgasm through penetration alone. I like clit shit. Don't know about you. I don't need the internal. I like the external. I don't need the internal. I'm spiritual enough already. Namaste. I'm always told that I'm too complex for men to... Oh, you're too complex. Sometimes I'll talk about the orgasm gap on the internet and cunts will get in my comments. They will get in my comments and they'll say things like, well, it's your fault. Your fault you're not coming with men because you need to tell us what you want. We do. You don't fucking listen. Every straight woman in this room has said at some point, slower, slower, slower. Just there. Don't move. And then been completely ignored. Listen, I know that every woman is different. I'm not above giving a bit of light guidance. Like, I'd like my pussy eaten. That's the kind of light guidance. But if I had to repeat myself, if I have to repeat myself, or if I have to explain the concept of women needing clitoral stimulation while I'm being pounded by somebody at speed of their choosing, then I'm sorry, you need to go back to school. Like, I don't want to do that deprogramming. I don't want to do that teaching from the ground. I don't want to do it. That's not the unpaid labour I want to do. I don't want to do any of it. Right? I don't want to project manage my orgasm in my... Like, while I'm supposed to be having an orgasm. Fuck. We need to stop accepting bad sex from men. We need to stop hinging straight sex on penetration, on the male orgasm, because quite frankly, like, the male orgasm is basic. It is, isn't it? It's like a Skoda, right? We love you, lads, but, you know, it's simple, right? It's simple. A child could do it, you know? Male orgasms are Skodas. Female orgasms are like Ferraris. You don't blame a Ferrari for being a Ferrari, do you? If you can't drive a supercar, you shouldn't be allowed behind the fucking wheel, quite frankly. And yes, that's it. Yes, you may clap, but if we're going to clap, we're going to do it a big clap, not just one person in the front row. Little bit of fishing never hurt anyone. No, listen, I am calling my 45-year-old clit a Ferrari. I am. I will do that because my orgasms are feral. They're powerful, right? When I come, ghosts come back from the dead, I swear. Thank you so much. I've been Eleanor Conway.
Eleanor Conway, everybody! That was great, Eleanor.
Is it true that only 4% of cis women who are dating have orgasms?
Okay. What? No, it's when we have hookup sex.
Yeah, hookup. That's what
I said.
Dating, I meant not seeing something.
Yeah, they gatekeep the pleasure behind commitment, but it's not a great deal because we still do two-thirds of the domestic work at home.
I think they're trying to lure us into commitment because they're such fans of it. They're like, no, not until you commit, because I love commitment. I'm all about commitment. That's men, isn't it? No.
No.
That's the opposite of men. Wow, 4%, that's very low. So if you're in a committed relationship, 60, you can look forward to coming 64 times out of 100.
But also you're doing 7 hours of extra housework per week when you marry a man, so you'd be too tired to come anyway.
I mean, that could be some of it. There's a lot of extra domestic labour. Apparently, that's a real thing. Domestic labour, emotional labour, remembering to send thank you notes, get stamps, I don't know.
Yeah, writing a list to try and get, you know, it's just...
Or whatever, ridiculous. Yeah, writing a list saying, can you please remember Billy's swimsuit tomorrow because I'm going to be gone before you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you've got project
And then they think they're amazing because they've remembered Billy's swimsuit, even though you've left 4 post-its for them. But you'd just love them to know that Billy has a swimsuit and goes swimming and... It's Tuesday, and it's every Tuesday, and I don't even have children, and I'm upset about it.
Well, I don't have children either.
Is this domestic lifestyle? No, it is.
It's what women say they have to. It's just the remembering of it, the thinking of it, and all of that, and that they just don't. They just tune out. So, listen, hashtag not all dads. I know some of you are doing amazing work.
Don't say that, because we say that. We go, oh, you're doing sort of almost as equal as the mum. You're such a good man.
No, some men are the main carers. So I'm just saying, if they're listening, I'm only talking to you, Roger. There's one man who listens to this, and he's a dad.
And we've got to gear the whole show to them. Okay.
Roger. Yeah. Roger, are you listening? Tune in. No, there's quite a few Rogers who probably listen to this, but I'm just saying, I don't want you to feel upset, but you might think you're a Roger and you're not. That's check in with the other carer of your child.
And then ask, are you pleasuring that carer?
I don't really want to think of someone as a carer if I'm pleasuring them. In that context, they're a lover.
Okay.
I don't want to pleasure a carer, I want to pleasure a lover. Do you see what I mean? Now, I'm not saying they're not a carer in other aspects of their life, but I don't want to pleasure a carer. It's like, you know, we're all a passenger on a bus as well, aren't we, or a train or something, but I don't want to pleasure a passenger, I want to pleasure a lover.
But wouldn't it be nice if, like, you in that thought of being a carer, that they were actually caring about your whole...
Pussy.
Okay, fine, I wasn't going to go that deep, but she went there.
Which is a word I've always found a bit American and a bit male. You know, men say it, don't they? They're like, oh, pussy. Women say it more now, but...
I love my pussy.
I say it a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should all say it together.
1, 2, 3.
Pussy!
Yeah.
I
was so relaxed.
Some people were very excited about saying it. I could hear you lot.
I thought it was quite lukewarm as a vibe.
Yeah. I think vulva.
Oh.
Trouble with it is
different
it sounds...
tax bracket.
It sounds like a car, doesn't it? It sounds like a really annoying car.
It sounds like an art gallery.
Okay.
Lick my vulva. Sorry.
What is the pleasure gap,
Ellen?
Oh,
sorry.
No, I haven't asked it. I'm saying it myself. I'm going, I haven't asked you the question I meant to ask you, which is, what is the pleasure gap?
Oh, the pleasure gap. Well, the pleasure gap is... don't know anymore. The pleasure gap is the pleasure gap is the orgasm gap, and it's also, you know, the fact that women in relationships with straight men, when we have babies with them, we end up doing most of the unpaid labour and work and parenting work and emotional labour. So not very pleasurable, is it?
So we have less pleasure in general, but especially in the bedroom.
I think it's about culture and about how, like, culture really has thought in the past that female pleasure was in serving men and family. Mainly because we didn't have access to any money.
Has that changed, though, in light of, obviously, as the generation has gone along, that how women have decided to maybe not do more work, like work, men doing more caring for the kids, or also more women have decided not to have kids?
I want you to know that I'm not an academic. I've just watched a lot of TikToks. But...
That's what an academic is now.
Are you putting your glasses on to show how smart you are?
Yeah. But listen, you know what you know.
I mean, I get all my news from TikTok.
Yeah, right.
I think even as recent as the 90s, women were still in that fixing. We've got to fix our relationships with men, even though they have bank accounts. Like, if you think about it, in the 90s, right? In the 90s, one of the biggest selling self-help books was Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Do you remember that book?
Yes.
It was supposed to be the book for the modern woman, and all it was, like, all the advice was, like, if you want to solve a problem, just don't have a problem. Yeah. And that was it.
That's right.
Because I tell you, I was watching your set, and obviously I was thinking about how... Me in my 20s, I was very much all about them. I kind of felt like in order for me to feel good about myself, they had to come.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, no, it's about me. It's about me. What about me?
I don't touch a cock until they've made me come three times or three separate occasions. So they can prove it's not an accident.
Wow. I mean...
I'm going to start a face-sitting revolution.
Yeah.
Why do we need to be talking about this now, Eleanor?
Because the personal is political, right? And I think, like, there's nothing more personal than what happens in your bedrooms, in your kitchen, between your legs, with your body, just all of that stuff. And I think sometimes women, straight women, really rush towards this idea of I've got to be in a relationship, or I'm sad because I don't have a relationship. And I see it a lot in my friends that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, right? I think it's, you know, we become these amazing, like, women. And I'm not saying the men aren't amazing. I'm just saying...
Roger, we
love you. We're going to sing you a song and it's all going to be dedicated to Roger at the end. I just want, like, the young women to know specifically, like, if you're single and, you know, you're a straight single woman and you're sad about it, it's not because you're unlovable. It's just you're in the middle of a bit of a cultural reset.
This is interesting because I'm currently going through that phase.
I've
called myself a duff.
Reset. A what?
A duff.
What's that mean?
So basically, I'm that person that my people who I'm interested in are not interested in me. They'd rather be interested in my friends.
Fine.
And therefore get through to me to get to my friends. So that's the stage. What did you just gasp?
Yeah. It's compassion. They're very empathetic.
Yeah. So I'm in this stage currently where I'm a bit like, well, am I just the ugly duckling? Am I just like, what is wrong with me?
And
I'm like,
wrong with you.
No, you're fabulous. You're gorgeous.
I didn't say I wasn't, but yeah. I've just got to the point where I'm like, what is everyone else seeing that I'm not seeing? Or I'm not...
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, does it? You could live till you're 80 and not, like, be in a relationship. Does that mean you're going to spend the next 40 years or whatever, 40, 50 years just trying to find that? Like... What are we all doing?
That's why I've got four vibrators there.
Four vibrators. You should get one of the clit sucky ones.
No, they scare me.
Well, do you know, I will say, I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, because we once had a whole episode where someone brought one out in New Zealand, and it was a Satisfyer 2000. And then, I don't know if I've ever given this warning since then, but somebody wrote in to say, I'm delighted that you're sharing this vibrator on the podcast. Someone brought it out. They weren't being paid to do it. They were cut out to talk about something else, but they just said, I just really want women to know about this amazing vibrator. And it was just a public service announcement. There was no tie-in or anything like that. And, you know, there was a whole thing about it. Anyway, then someone wrote into me and just said, I just want you to let your audience know I was paralysed by one. Just temporarily. And I looked it up, and it's a thing, and it's a real thing. I might have already warned everyone, but it's worth warning you again. If you're using one of the suction ones, it doesn't just vibrate on you. It's silent if it's on the clitoris, basically, and it's like a Dyson of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said she was on her own in her bedroom, and she was using it, and she put it on too high too quickly.
Ooh.
And she just got completely paralysed. And it's something, it's called like an orgasm paralysis or something. And her dad was the only one in the house. So she had to shout for her dad and he had to take her to hospital.
Oh my
and
God.
She had to say what had happened. And they said, yeah, this sometimes happens. You can have such an orgasm that you end up in hospital paralysed.
This Gen Z's face in the front row is so shocked.
Yeah.
She's I never want anything near there again.
Can you imagine? You're having to ask your dad, and your dad's saying, what's wrong? But also, if you're physically paralysed, you can't presumably get yourself, you know...
Did she come, though? That's what we all want to know.
She came so hard, she had to go to hospital, babe.
The orgasm shocked her into going to A&E.
Do you think any straight cis man has ever sent a woman to hospital? No, I don't think
so.
That's ever happened.
I think, listen, I'm against artificial intelligence, but it may be that we outsource orgasms to someone more qualified, and that someone might be a Satisfyer 2000. Just be careful. She said, no, they're great. She said, just be careful. You don't turn it up too quickly. You've got to start on the low, and you turn up very gradually.
I've got one that has like a flat surface, and it just sort of juggles.
Well, do you think, because obviously we are more empowered to use vibrators nowadays, it's more of a big topic, but do you think we're starting to emasculate men to the point where they're like, well, what have we got to do now? What is our purpose?
I mean, the straight men need to bring more to the table. I mean, they could at least learn to eat pussy properly, couldn't they?
What men have you been fucking?
What?
That they can't eat pussy.
Oh, who are you fucking? Do we have any mutuals?
Can I get the bill, please? I'm sorry, guys, my Uber's come. I've got a...
Your Uber's come, has it?
Hey! Oh. It is my experience that women and non-binary people with clitorises are much more skilled to an extent where you go, oh, it's a different art form at cunnilingus.
Yeah.
Don't accuse me of being in a different tax bracket because I say cunnilingus. I've always said it. I've had my electricity turned off, and I've said it. Now, not because of that. It was just a time when I was very broke.
Okay.
Not that I go around saying it much, to be honest, but women and people of minority genders who own clitorises, in my opinion, are so much better at that. Like, it's a different world. It's a different world. If you've not been there, and as I don't know to whom you are attracted...
I've been there.
I don't know if you've had that experience, but it seems to me to be more than a trend.
No, I feel like it's because they know how it works, or they've experienced how it works, and they feel more connected.
I know what you mean, but then when I've done it, I've thought, well, I only know my side of it. You know, it's sort of like it's a new thing to tackle, isn't it?
I feel like if you're gonna pull it out.
I feel like I should be good at it, I think.
I think you would be good at it.
I've been told I have been, but I don't...
Show us.
Sorry, can I get the bill for Eleanor? No, I'm not saying I'm not good at it, but I'm not good at it in the way that some women are just, like, incredible, and you just go, what are you doing? And I want to know what the techniques are. But they're sort of... I think they're a bit like the Satisfy 2000. There's a suction technique that... No, men don't know
Maybe some of them do. They do. I think. No, I know that suction technique.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do you think that's because also, like, some people really love it and some people don't love it?
That's it. See, my theory is there's three types of men, straight men. It's that ones that flat out don't give a shit, ones that pretend just to be a good guy and they don't like it, and then ones that fucking are feral for it.
But just because a man loves it doesn't mean he's good at it.
In my experience, it's like it's in their soul. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like
men.
Have you been to a house party? Every man thinks he's good at playing the guitar. Just because he hogs the guitar singing Bob Dylan covers doesn't mean he knows how to finger.
No, they've done the research. They've wrote their papers on it. They've done the academic research. They've done it full out. They've gone on the courses.
Listen.
What I mean is, like, some people know how to dance and you can't teach. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people know how to move and dance.
Yeah.
And also, I can as well. I'm not bragging. I can do a shuffle.
A shuffle? Okay.
A shuffle. A little boogie. Yeah. But, like, you can't teach somebody rhythm. And I think that is true of men when it comes to pussy eating.
I disagree, because my lockdown project was, in fact, learning to dance. And I was very frightened. And that is not a euphemism, but now it sounds like it is. No, I've always had rhythm, but it was the, like, choreo and stuff that I found really difficult. Like, just because I can see you doing it doesn't mean I can do it. And I learned.
I used to teach dance. I still kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah, I still give you lessons. But
again, everything sounds like a euphemism now.
Hello, baby. How are you? no, but I have always said that you can teach someone a routine, but you can't teach them how to dance. It's like in their body. It's in their body.
But what I will say is, since I've learnt more technique, I've got more confident and I've allowed myself to put more soul into my dancing.
Okay.
So I believe, I don't really believe in talent. I believe in technique and break down technique for people, because if you tell people, look, if it's not in you, it's not in you, people get really discouraged. And I don't want to send a message out on this podcast, hey men, you might not, might as well not bother if you're not really into it. I want you to know that there are techniques, but you may, I don't know, how do we teach them? Do we ask them to watch? It seems...
They've got to put in the work. They've got to put in the work.
No, I've got a guy on Pornhub that I sent a link to. If someone's got Shows Promise, I send him a link to one of his videos.
Shows Promise?
Yeah.
What? This is the most sex-positive episode we've ever done, and I'm
Thank
really
you.
Enjoying
There's
it.
There's a guy on Pornhub called Mr. Pussy Licker.
Okay, hold on. Everyone get out your phones.
I don't want to put that in. Isn't there one called...
Why?
Isn't there one called Count Cunnilingus for me? Go on. And Colonel Cunnilingus.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Yeah. Well, he's like a young guy and he just eats his girlfriend out. And it's like him just doing tutorials and like he's really...
He does tutorials like a YouTube.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And he's showing you how he's doing
it. Yeah, but also he's doing the other stuff. Like he's also eating his girlfriend out when he's not teaching. But he's just done a couple that have got like squirting tutorials and then like eating...
Okay, wait, so the squirting thing...
Huh?
The squirting thing.
Yeah, what about it?
I never learned... Well, I said learn. I could never do it.
Yeah.
Until two partners ago.
Well done. Congrats.
I didn't think it was a real thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Is it?
Apparently.
It is. And now...
You don't stop pissing yourself.
There's a flood everywhere. But I just think people... No. Also, I think it's part of who you are as a person. Like, you have to be really relaxed with that person and comfortable with that person in order to get what you need from them. And I feel like it's a two-way street. Is it just me?
No, I feel you.
No, it's not just you.
Is it just me?
I enjoy Succession. It's a good show. Like, you can just watch episodes of things like that, and that's very enjoyable as well. And not going to bed, having an early night, is enjoyable. It just seems like a lot, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems like a lot for me. I go through periods where I really want it and when I really am, like, all right without it. Does anyone else have that? Because I feel that there is a sort of obligation sometimes to want it all the time. And I feel a bit embarrassed that I don't want it all the time. When I want it, I really want it. But when I don't want it, I'm like,
I found there's a...
Is that I'm not having the right sort all the time? Or is it okay to wax and wane on my libido? Eleanor, please help me and tell me the truth.
I'm probably a sex addict, so probably not the best person to talk to about this.
Well, I've recently found there's a new trend where men have figured out a good excuse for them to be like, oh, sorry, babe, I'm tired. Do you remember how there was usually a thing where women, that was our thing, women would be like, oh,
that was our thing.
And non-binary people would be like, no, sorry, we can't, I'm tired. But men's now one is... Sorry, I can't do it. I've just had Coke.
Oh, if they don't want to have sex, they say they've just had Coke.
They can eat you out, but that's just penetration, isn't it? It makes you have a floppy willy. They're like Coke. Mm. It does.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
If you're not laughing, you are learning. Okay.
Listen, it's feminist. Listen, if you've come to the show tonight, you've brought someone for the first time, and you say, it's normally she's got a very serious activist on, and they do some comedy, and then this. The first half of the show has been all about the word cunt, and the second half has been all about cunnilingus. And I hope you've enjoyed that Monday night serious or feminist audience have come to King's Place. Have you enjoyed it? Tell me, Eleanor Conway, is there anything you came to say that you didn't get to say, including where your show's going to be on? Because it sounds hysterically funny and incredibly educational.
Thanks, mate. Well,
will you be showing any of the videos from Mr. from Colonel Cunnilingus?
That'll be on my Patreon. all my OnlyFans. Thanks. No, just to say I'm going to be on tour with my show about the pleasure gap, and if you'd like to come...
When will it be near here? When will it be near here?
Oh, I'm not sure when this is getting broadcast, but all throughout the rest of the year.
But will it come to London?
Yes.
When will it be in London?
Every month. Every month. Oh, yeah, so on Thursday, this Thursday, and then in March and April and May.
So this Thursday, where can people see it? So
Top Secret. Top Secret Club. Okay. And I'm really bad at plugging, sorry.
I mean...
That's clearly not one of the videos you've watched.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I can do innuendo too. What I can't do is say the words. Now, so this Thursday, Top Secret Comedy Club, which is in Soho?
It's in Covent Garden,
yes. Covent Garden. And then later in the year, it's coming back to London?
Yeah, it's just basically just check out my Instagram and I'm just adding dates as I go.
Okay,
and
great.
If you want me to come to your city, anyone's listening and they want me to come to their city, sign up to the mailer on my website, put your city, and then when I get enough signups, I'll come.
Great. And your Instagram is?
At Eleanor Conway.
At Eleanor Conway.
Can I ask one last question?
Yeah, please.
In terms of your obviously experience, what advice would you give to the younger generation in terms of pleasure for them to...
Oh.
Get some.
I don't know. No, I do know. Well, it depends what you're looking for. Just if you want to have a baby, have a baby. But if you're going to do it with a geezer, make sure he's somebody that eats your pussy. Do you know what I mean? And then if you don't want to do it with a geezer, don't do it with a geezer. Get some spunk.
Sage words, young people. Sage words for Gen Z.
Yeah. Mine was just going to
so
be...
Sorry.
Mine was just going to be hashtag GSD, which means get some dick, give some dick, generate some dick, get some digits.
Any straight cis men in? Do you feel you've learnt or do you feel shocked and worn out? What? Sir?
Sir?
Positive experience.
It's been a positive experience. Excellent.
That's a feminist right there.
Excellent. Do you feel you've learnt anything?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That was a no.
What have you learnt, sir?
That some guys can't eat pussy.
Okay. Some guys, they all think it's not them, don't they? They all think it's not them. This is the problem. They all think they're Roger. They're not all Roger. They can't all be Roger. Statistically speaking, hardly any of them are. Only Roger is. Have you got any shows coming up, Skisa?
Yes, I will be on... I'm doing my first ever tour. Of my show that I did last year in Edinburgh. It's called Hear Me Out. It's all about the fact that I got diagnosed as being dyslexic. I also may do something special at the end. So if you're in London, come and see me at the 4th to the 6th of April at Soho Theatre. I'm around the UK, Leeds, Manchester, Brighton, Glasgow, Edinburgh. Just did Leicester, Southampton, and the MacFest. So come and see me around the UK.
Amazing. And I wanted to let you know that we are going to be back here in March, but also on the 27th of March, we are going to be at Waterstones. We're doing our very first Guilty Feminist Waterstones Book Club. Did anyone get to see Prima Facie, amazing Jodie Comer play? If you didn't, and you didn't get to see it on National Theatre at home, I think they probably will re-release it, because Susie Miller, who's the playwright, she's absolutely brilliant. It was the most feminist, genius monologue play I've ever seen in my life. It was just blew me away, and I was sobbing at the end. It's absolutely brilliant. It's funny, it's moving, it's just fantastic. Susie told me, when I met her, she wanted to originally make it a novel, but she was a playwright. No one was going to be interested in her writing a novel. So she's now got to adapt it as a novel. Now, Susie Miller is going to join us live on stage at Waterstones Piccadilly on the 27th of March. And Jess Foster Kew and another comedian or author and I are going to talk with Susie Miller. And we thought, instead of, you know, I was just worried about doing a new book, especially with an author, it just being a puff piece. You know, that thing of like, oh, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. So we thought, to make it a really Guilty Feminist book club, we are going to compare, we'll probably do it 4 times a year, and we're going to compare and contrast the book with a feminist classic that we haven't read but should have read, or maybe we read it a long time ago. So the first one is Fear of Flying. Does anyone know Fear of Flying? Erica Jong? No. You've got to read it. I read it years ago. I'd be very interested to see what I think of it now because it was written in the 60s. And so we're going to talk about both of those books and contrast them. If you go to our website, you can get a link through, and you can either buy tickets for the show with both books or one book. So they'll send you the books ahead of time so that there's no spoilers.
And there'll be books, of course, on the night. You don't have to have read the books to come and enjoy the show. So if you could get tickets for that now, that is March 27th. Thank you so much. You've been a really, really lovely audience. Can I have a please have a big round of applause for Eleanor Conway? Sakisa? All the staff at King's Place? Thank you so much. I've been Deborah Frances White. We've been The Guilty Feminist. Good night. This is me, Deborah Frances White, guest host, Sakisa and Ambrose Bridgenis, Eleanor Conway. The recording engineer is Chris Sharp. The Guilty Feminist theme tune is composed by Mark Hodge. The producer is Tom Flynn. Lady Drop. Thanks to Rachel Craftsman, Gina Dicio, Zainab Marmot, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. Excellent. We're done. Now let's play I'm a Feminist But.
Yay!
Yeah, we're focused like a train because we had a special emergency guest.
Papa, papa.
Okay, ready?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, let's go. Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I'm a Feminist.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.